Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, B-Fan Podcast. Thank you for tuning in, and as always, thank you for giving me your time. Today, I'm here with...
Mariano.
And Mariano, introduce yourself a little bit. Who you are, where you from, what you do.
Yeah. Well, I'm from D.C. I grew up in D.C., right in the middle, not in, like, the surrounding area, so very much from the city. I lived in California for, like, 4 years. I was born in D.C., moved to California, and then moved back to D.C., and now I'm here, sophomore, studying... philosophy, politics, law, probably going to do law. And yeah, it's been an experience at USC so far.
That's good. And I know today we wanted to come in and talk about the paper that you just wrote.
Well, I wrote a paper, about visual experience, high-level content versus low-level content for this class on, like, philosophy or perception.
Yeah.
And how, like, we visually perceive things, because, like, some people argue that we visually perceive just, like, low-level properties of objects, like size, motion, objects, and depth, and whatever. But mm-hmm. There's arguments that we actually, like, experience, like, emotions, like, physical objects and, like, natural objects, like pine trees or whatever, or, like, an apple.
Yeah.
And that's, like, an actual visual experience. So I just wrote a paper on that for a class. I know it's, like, not that interesting, but what I like about it is that I wanted to actually write this... include this in this journal that me and my friend have for this club, Neurotech.
Mm-hmm.
And he it's part of this club called Neurotech. He made this, like, journal called Bite Size that basically they sum up neuroscience articles in the field of neuroscience, whether it's professors or, mm-hmm. or students. They send it out every week. I'm actually an editor for it, and we're trying to get that running. We have, like, 20 people on the like the list that, like, get the article each week. So we're actually currently working on that, trying to, I think, get to 100 people by the end of January or maybe the end of May. But we're still working on that. That's, like, a big thing that we're going to be doing next semester. So I hope to include this paper that I just wrote in that. That's, like, where I'm focused at. I know it's all finals, but I care more so about that.
Yes, it's important to put your work first, almost, especially over, like, schoolwork going to be there, but. The things you're actually interested in are...
The passions, yeah. I know. I think a big part of life is finding your passions, what you want to do with them.
Yeah. And with the paper, what do you think is the important piece of being able to perceive objects on a more emotional level?
Well, I think it's just challenges how we visually perceive things. Like, mm-hmm. if perception is much more in-depth than just size, motion, and all that, it means that, like, the way we perceive the world... is completely different than we initially thought, you know? If traditionally people think we just perceive the world as, like, as just seeing low-level features like color, size, and depth, but actually you perceive, like, trees and, like, the content of trees itself, it just, like, kind of reworks the way that we, like, interpret the world and see the world.
Yeah, I've been reading this book called The Evolutionary Self, and a piece of it that has stuck with me so far, I think I read this, like, earlier this week or last week, it was, like, you should be able to... or it's a good practice to, like, look at objects and act like it's the first time you've ever seen it.
I think so. I agree. But I think that, especially today, I mean, I think everything's also oversaturated with social media.
Yeah.
You have all this. Social media gives you this dopamine constantly, every second. It's like, I look at something, but it's like, am I really even looking at it? Am I really just perceiving it? Or is it just, like, firing this, like, response in my brain? So I think I agree that it's important just to, like, sit and stare. I think that's where I've gained the most peace out of life, is just been alone with my thoughts and just sat and just thought about things and looked at things and not really, like, focused on anything. Because I think social media is really one of the worst things ever.
It's like a drug available to everybody. And in taking my... that's interesting. I take a history and geography on drugs class, and I feel like one of the topics we should learn about is addiction to social media and how social media... is actually a drug. It's not prescribable or, you know, something that has this chemical makeup, but the whole idea of it is to promote. Social media, and when used in the right way, I guess you could say, quote unquote, the right way, you should be able to learn something from it. But now it just seems like companies are pushing all these different ads, and you sort of see how they structure social media is how we live in a regular everyday life.
I think the thing is that also it's like, it's just fires these dopamine receptors in your brain. So it's not even, like, really real. It's just like this fabricated response that's just constantly giving you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's not real life. I think I've come to realize that this semester that I was very onto one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. And it was like I was living my life in a way like reminiscent of social media, where I was always wanting to find the next thing. I always wanted to find the next thing, whether it was talking to someone, whether it was doing something fun, whether it was whatever, you know. And sometimes you get lost in that, because I think part of life is being bored, not having anything to do. That's like a major part of life. And if you're constantly trying to escape that, which I think is something I did this semester, it's just you're going to kind of lose yourself in a way. You're going to get caught up in whatever. You're going to get caught up in these this dopamine. But it's like this thing that's just feeding your brain that's not necessarily real. Like the I've come to realize that like the best times I've had, has been thinking by myself, being independent, and like honestly being alone, being bored. That's like I think the best times I've had has come from that. And that's something I think you have to realize, especially in like today's society, is that
That look. Doing less is more. We get so caught up in this idea that if I'm not doing 30 things a day, then I'm not doing anything at all. But a lot of times you move faster if you stick to like 1 to 5 things that you really want to get done. You knock them out and then use the rest of your day to either, you know, lay back, relax, and sort of enjoy your life.
Well, it got to the point where I'm like, if I'm doing all these things, it's like I'm running away from my own thoughts and feelings, you know?
What's really getting done?
Yeah, but I feel like I was running away from my own thoughts and feelings to the point where it's like I wasn't even rationally thinking about things. I was just doing things just to do it. It was fun or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was an experience, but then it's like once you sit back and think about it, you're kind
of
like...
You come down off this high. Like you ride this emotional high of, yes, I'm doing stuff. Now I have nothing to do. Now what do I do?
It kind of like maybe depressed a little bit, but I was like, even in like being depressed or being bored, I was like... It was a good experience, honestly. So I was like, I'm learning a lot more about myself. I'm rationalizing, thinking about like all the things I've done. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is being more so a human than honestly going from one thing to the next. It's like, I'm not going to live my life like a constant drug or a constant high. That's not feasible.
It's not at all. And by the time you get old enough or older, I'm trying to think about what are the latent effects of, you know, this lifestyle that we're living. Like, we're young, so it's okay because we're moving fast anyway. We're young. We have all this energy. We can do this, this, and that. But what the fuck am I going to do when I'm 60? You know what I'm saying? Like, at that point, you got to get off Instagram. You got to get off TikTok. So at what point does it become, I guess, I don't know, cool to put the phone down? I mean, you see people raise their children through social media now. All babies see when they first come out the womb is a phone in their face. You know what I'm saying? So how do you feel about that?
I hate it, but I'm part of it. That's the thing. I dislike it, but it's like we're both going to be down to... Be done talking, get on Instagram.
Yeah.
Like, let's be real.
It's
we talk about it now, and it's like I have friends that try to delete Instagram. I try to delete Instagram, but it is such a drug. It becomes so attached to your life. It's so fake and fabricated, you know?
Yeah, it's like when you look up and look around, everybody's head is down.
But you go on Instagram, why am I looking at people in what Indonesia doing stuff?
Yeah, I shouldn't know this many people. I shouldn't know what they are doing over there. It's important to understand what other cultures do. But I feel like that's something you have to go and experience for yourself and not through a phone.
I know, which is interesting because I, no matter what, I always felt like you can learn about all this stuff on social media, but it's social media books or whatever, but you have to experience and actually be a part of it. Mm-hmm. Like, the end of the day, I could read a book on like how to perform surgery and I can know every little aspect, but that doesn't mean I can actually perform the surgery on someone because I'm actually not applying it to my life and actually doing it. And it's like... I think actually an interesting experience the other week was I got invited to this Pakistani Student Association Club and I was like way out of my element.
Yeah.
Because I'm completely white, Italian. You have all these people like from everywhere, but it was such a good experience. You're talking to people from Dubai, from like Africa, from Asia, from all these different places. And it's like, this is real life. It's just talking to these people, getting these different perspectives. It's like Instagram kind of feeds you that in a sense, but it's not real. It's like I can look at someone in Indonesia doing this or whatever, but it's like I'm not really learning. You know, that 5-minute conversation from this kid from Morocco was more transformative than the hours I've spent on Instagram learning about Morocco.
Yeah, so it's what was it called? I forget if it's like a curated response, uncurated response, but it was sort of, I was watching this video and it was like, think about a dog in a food bowl, right? So when a dog sees the food bowl, it starts to salivate. It gets like, you know, hungry or whatever. Yeah, yeah. It's ready to eat the bowl. If you were to present the bowl, ring the bell, and then let the dog like come eat, the dog is gonna start to salivate off of the sound of the bell. And once you remove the dog bowl and just ring the bell, the dog will start to salivate. That's sort of like the connection that we are getting from social media. you know, it's, you got real life outside, which makes us want to go explore, want to go get into it. And then you present Instagram and then the world outside, and then you go, you start to see life through the lens of Instagram. You know what I'm saying?
But you also see this, start to see the life through the lens of other people, too, yeah. I think. It's as we're constantly, what's the way to put it? It's like we're constantly stalking people, whether you like it or not. It's like you're showing, I'm up to this, I'm up to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like...
But we never see the downsides.
You never see the downsides. It's like someone could be happy or on Instagram. You think their life is amazing, but it's like you got to focus on your own life, you know, and what you're doing. If you're constantly looking at Instagram or whatever, or this or that, you're going to just completely miss your own life. That's why I think like Instagram is constantly looking at other lives through other people.
Yeah.
And it's such a waste.
Dang. The call just sort of like just threw off the flow.
No.
But we can get back into it easy.
It's fine. But yeah, but it's like, I don't know. Instagram, social media is probably like one of the worst things of this generation. But we complain about it. But we're both part of it completely.
Yeah. What were we talking about?
Social media, how bad it is. How basically it's like stalking people, but not really stalking people. It's like a mutual stalk. You can stalk me, I can stalk you.
Yeah, and I never see your low lights. I only see what's perfect.
No.
And it put me in a very bad predicament for a really long time. And I don't want to, like, you know, blame people on social media for just showing the good parts of their life. I do it too, you know what I'm saying? But it put me in this mindset that, wow, I need to succeed. If I don't succeed today, I'm going to fall behind. I need to succeed by this certain age. You know what I'm saying? You see a 15-year-old buy his mom a house, so you like, what the fuck am I doing? You know? And that's not a realistic perspective on life.
No, not at all. I think that, like, I know some people who have Instagram but never, like, post what they do. And honestly, those are the people that have lived the most interesting lives.
Yeah.
Because they're actually doing things, and they realize social media is not really a place to, like, show it. It's whatever. It's something, like, to connect. But it's not, like, I feel like if you're living a good life, there's no point in posting on social media, you know?
Yeah.
What's the point?
I don't know. You can sort of use it as a photo book.
I guess so.
That's why I like apps like Pinterest. You know what I'm saying? So, like, Pinterest is an app where you can sort of curate the lifestyle that you want to see. And it's, you're not being attacked by people who follow you, don't follow you in comments or whatever. You can sort of just see the stream of pictures that you like to see, and then you sort of get inspiration to do more things. That's what I use Pinterest for. I sort of like to upload pictures that I take to sort of see like a little recap of who I am and who I'm becoming. So I can reinforce my mind with positive images of myself so I can start to recreate the experience that I once gone through.
I like that, yeah. But... yeah, I don't know. Social media is definitely crazy. Just definitely like a different type of drug. It's like a 21st century drug, it feels like. You know,
we went
from nicotine to now this. Well, I guess we're still dealing with nicotine, but it's just another type of drug. I think the most important thing, though, is just to experience real life, you know? Traveling for me has always been like the biggest thing, is to get out and explore, whether it's like good or bad. I think it's probably one of the best things you can do.
I mean, talk about it, your recent travels.
My recent travels... Well, 2 years ago, I decided to go to Paris by myself for a week because my girlfriend had planned a trip, and I'm like, she was going to Greece. I'm like, I'm not about to be home, depressed, not doing anything. So I was like, I'm going to go to Paris for a week, and then I'll go to Italy for, what was it, a week after that. So I spent like 14 days in Paris just alone. No, I spent 7 days in Paris alone, went south to Lyon, like a little small little city, and then went to Turin in Italy, and then went to Florence. I was just by myself for like 16 days, I think it was, just in Europe traveling. It was like one of the best experiences I've had. It's like you learn so much about the world and how it actually is, and it's just getting all these experiences. And that was like so peaceful, but it was like, at that point, like I never even wanted to be on Instagram, you know? It's like I'm actually experiencing the world.
I'm seeing life for what it is. And
I'm seeing
here.
Life for what it is. I gained all these experiences, and it was like that for me was the most transformative.
And could you do me a favor and tell people that you don't need all the money in the world to experience these travels?
No, you don't need all the money in the world at all. Not at all. I didn't have all the money in the world completely.
You just put something together and find what's feasible in your budget. I mean, it's a way to get everything done.
Now you can go to Mexico for like $500 right now. Honestly, I was thinking of doing that. But then, last year, I decided to up it. I actually broke up with my girlfriend. I'm like, you know what? Now I'm going to have nothing to do. Now I actually really got to travel. So then I went to 4 countries and was like, I went to Switzerland, then I went to Austria, then I went to Prague, then Germany, then back to Switzerland. And then I went to Barcelona with a friend. And, you know, like, I think I've honestly, like, it sounds so weird to say it, but I've learned more on those experiences than from any college course I've ever taken.
No, that's extremely accurate. Because earlier this year, I've talked about it before, but I was in Spain and London, and that was my first time out of the country this year. And I noticed when I got out there that life isn't all it seems. For, like, the first, I was in Spain for 10 days. For the first week, I didn't have any cell service because my SIM card plan or whatever, Metro didn't allow me to have the international service, and I thought I would have to go get a SIM card or something. I found out you can do an eSIM, but not until later on when I actually needed it. But without having a phone, it sort of put me in a position to where I can experience life for what it was and for what it is and sort of ask myself what it is I want to do out here. Now I'm in a new environment, coming from Detroit all the way out here, and I'm seeing more people, but not through a phone, not meeting over the internet, but I'm seeing people live ways that I've never been accustomed to. One thing I've noticed is when you get out of America, life tends to slow down. I got out there to Barcelona, and it was people were walking everywhere. Everybody's fit. Nobody's, like, really fat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's the biggest thing, too. I mean, I just like how it's such a culture on, even in Paris, everyone's up till 2 a.m. just talking, enjoying chilling, their time,
doing what they do.
Yeah, I appreciate
the dinner over there is different, like the restaurant experience.
I agree. I think we just talked about going from one thing to the next, and how, like, I think Europe kind of even like exemplifies the opposite. They seem very calm, enjoying the moment. At least, like, when I was in France, for just enjoying the moment, being there, it's like the cafe lifestyle, just being at cafes for hours. Reading. And there's also the idea, this French idea of, like, le flâneur, which is, like, the person that just walks around neatly dressed and just, like, looks at people and just, like, enjoys life. He just walks through the town dressed nice and just, like, observes people. And I feel like I was trying to just live that in France, and it was such a nice experience, but it's, like, no social media, no whatever, any, like, thing that's distracting you or trying to make you feel a certain way. It's just real life. And it's not, like, necessarily, like, interesting. You can look at people just walking. You can look at a bird flying. But it's just, it's real. And it feels good. I guess we also talked about, like, life doesn't always have to be this interesting thing. It's good.
Or
this
big bang. We always expect the, you know, the game-winning shot, the game-winning block, you know what I'm saying? The underdog winning. But we never talk about just strolling.
No.
Walking. We try to run everywhere. And it's kind of ironic, but I had made a TikTok. And it was sort of like, I like to make TikToks of just things that I like come up with, like, when I think. And I was saying, like, you can run sometimes. Like, it's okay to run. We get so caught in this, I see it from a different perspective. We get so stuck in this one way of doing things. We see society does this, they walk everywhere, so we think we just have to walk everywhere as well. But it's okay to break out of that, and you can run. Like, sometimes I just run to destinations because I don't feel like walking. And it's not embarrassing as it may seem, but as odd as it may seem, I feel more liberated when I'm able to do that because I wanted to run. I didn't want to walk over there. And it's not that I didn't want to walk over there because I didn't feel like taking my time to get over there. I knew it was a quicker way to get there, and I really wanted to be there, so I ran. You know what I'm saying? And you don't have to have on running clothes. You don't have to have on your running shoes or anything. You could just get to your destination quicker and enjoy it. And
I don't know. I think it's just living. The best way to live your life is just do what you want, you know? If you're not hurting anyone, but it's also just to live in the moment and not, like, try to fabricate things. And, like, a lot of the stuff, like, people's thoughts, opinions, social media is all just, it's, like, very stressful. Very stressful. It makes you just, like, look at yourself from, like, an outside perspective.
Yeah.
And looking down on you.
Instead of living within yourself.
Now,
when you were in Europe, did you see a lot of people walking and talking on their phones?
No, it was a lot of people walking and talking together. And if they were on their phones, they were calling. I didn't really see many people on social media, especially in being in, like, France and Italy. You had a lot of people sitting down in cafes and eating and talking.
Did you go to the beach?
I went to the beach in Barcelona.
Did you notice how, like, people were actually interacting with each other?
The beaches were packed completely. I've never seen a beach so packed over
on
there.
On a weekday.
It was on a weekday.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it'd be on a weekday where people just, I remember going outside after school. Now I don't, I can't recall the last time I went outside after school. You know what I'm saying? I used to get home, do my homework as fast as possible and go play with my friends, you know, play basketball in the street, run up and down, ride my bike. But as I got older, I started to stay in the house more. And it was sort of sad to myself to see, I guess, I don't want to say losing that adolescence, but growing up in a sense to where everybody sort of became secluded. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we were talking about this in our last conversation, but we were saying, like, everybody's, like, extremely socially anxious. Was that me and you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah. I've definitely had these feelings, too. That people were very, like, not even, like, paranoid, but mm-hmm. they even had friends, like, talk to me, be like, is he mad at me? Is he mad at me? What do you think of this? What do you think of that? And it's just, like, we're also focused on what other people think, but it's just, like, more so you suffer more in, like, imagination than in actual reality. It's, like, people are all don't really care.
What
it's
you're like, doing. Nobody cares what you do as long as it doesn't affect them in some negative way.
Yeah, honestly.
If it can benefit them, great. But, like, people have no idea who you are, what you're doing. I remember riding a scooter around with one of my friends in the village for, like, 20 minutes just talking and laughing at people. And it was the most freeing experience ever. Like, you don't need a phone. You don't need music to always stimulate you. I feel like we blame, like, mental health conditions and everything for, you know, the way we act. You know, I suffer with, like, some mental health conditions, but I don't want to use it in a way to where it gives me an excuse to run away from responsibility.
Yeah.
It's like living through it. You don't have to identify with it or let it become you, you know what I'm saying? It just so happened to be something that's happening. It's brain chemistry, you know what I'm saying? Not everybody's going to be the happiest. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to be the saddest, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
But I think even, like, that sadness, being not depressed, upset, bored, whatever you want to call it, is key.
It's a part of life.
It's part of life. It's important. And then, yeah, we talk about social media. A lot of people on social media, they always portray this, like, happiness that they're having.
Mm-hmm.
That's not life. I remember, like, I have a friend. In his house, he has a whiteboard. He says, like, boring can be fun.
Yeah.
And that always stuck with me. But it's like, boring can be fun, you know?
Yeah, and it should be fun.
It should be fun. But I think, yeah, especially that's just been so hard for me this semester is that I could not just
sit down and be bored.
No, that's something I need to work on next semester. And even, like, just over break is just sitting down and enjoying.
Just 10 minutes of silence.
Yeah, 10 minutes of silence, 10 minutes of just no social media, like, not
text. No, anything. Just turn your phone off. That's what I want to do a lot next semester. I want to leave my phone in my room and go to class.
Yeah.
I want to use a notebook again. You know, I'm so used to typing notes on my computer. I would rather sit in a class and take no notes than take notes on my computer. Because at that point, I'm just trying to chase what the teacher is saying instead of actually taking in the information.
Yeah, but it's like, I guess, like, even America kind of, like, perpetuates that idea of, like, constantly going from one thing to the next, like, this fast-paced life. And especially it gets, like, even, like, amplified in college. You look at, like, frat kids. Like,
yeah.
A lot of their life is just this.
It's party, 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 party.
Because I had one friend. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm a party, and so I'm going to do it again tomorrow. And he's like, I'm going to do it again the day after that. And even for me, for someone who's, like, always doing something, I was like, that just seems like a lot. Like, at the end of the day, like, not what are you doing, but it's like, what are you chasing? What's like, the end goal? You know, I guess, like, you're forced in growing up. It's like, what is the end goal of my actions, you know?
And I think a lot of what we experience here is due to the fact that we don't get a chance to see people older than us. You know, the oldest people on campus are either grad students that you don't see because they take night classes, or your professors in class that you only see, for 2 to 3 hours max?
Yeah.
You don't really have any contact with them after class. Like, it's possible to go to office hours or email, but nobody really has the art of connecting with a teacher anymore.
No, but that's why it's, like, so weird. It's like such a fabricated reality of, like,
it seems like a simulation of what life should be. It's what we experience in college. And I feel like a lot of the people who sort of are able to step out of that understand the value of friendship, understand the value of what it means to be bored, understand the value of what it means to be satisfied with the day. I feel like we try to sort of overdo things every day. And like I was saying earlier in the episode, how you think you have to do 30, 40 things a day to feel accomplished, but, you know, for the last few days, I've been typing that one essay a day, and that set me up for the rest of everything. I feel accomplished enough to know that I took care of my work, the responsibilities that I want to get done are done, and I can enjoy the rest of the day observing.
That's interesting, because I actually had a conversation with a friend where I was like, he was like, how was your day? And I was like, I did nothing, even though I was like all over the place. Mm-hmm. Went to like one friend to the next, did this, did that. I'm like, what did you do? And he's like, woke up, worked out, had a good meal, did the laundry, did my homework. It was an amazing day. And I was like, so I was like so confused. I was like, what the fuck? This is what I should be doing, you know? Like this that's real. You're like living a more of a real life than I am. It's
yeah.
like you're taking care of yourself, taking care of your goals, doing what's right. And it's like mm-hmm. that's someone who seems to be in like the right mind frame of.
And it seems like we try to become a new individual every day. We sort of try to change the shape of our character every day, which is good. But when you're trying to become a new person every day, you sort of stress yourself out with how do I rebuild the foundation of this character? I mean, you can change clothes, but you can't really change what's on the inside.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like you were saying earlier, you said, what's the end goal? I feel like we should have the set end goal of who we want to be and sort of work towards that every day. We get so caught up in, like we were saying, the social media. We get so caught up in becoming this new personality that we forget I wanted to be the old man sitting on the porch at the end of the day. And how do I get there? Understanding the value of life. I want to build a family one day. How do I get there? I develop my character today. You know, so it's who do I want to be at the end of it? Who do I want to see at the end? And it's, you sort of got to work backwards.
I know it's hard to look from the future backwards of where you want to get to. And mm-hmm. I think, yeah, a lot of people do get like caught up in the moment, and even other people. I think a lot, well, at least this semester, like other people's, and like what other people thought, not like even what thought, but like just other people and like social settings, like just stressed me out in such a sense. It's like you always have to be like aware, on par, like
putting you have this to like know what's going on.
Know what's going on. It becomes like stressful. Then like I don't want to like be socially aware all the time doing this, knowing what this is, knowing what that is. It's just, it gets stressful. Sometimes people just get stressful, you know? It gets stressful to talk. I don't even talk to people, but always be in like these settings of like,
where it's like this new news every day, and I'm like, I'm still trying to catch up on what happened last month, let alone what's happening
in my own life too.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to keep up with the Joneses instead of, you know, keeping up with Austin. How am I going to keep up with Austin? And last week for sure, something, I had a turning point. And it was after our conversation actually that I felt the need to record it. Like, not record it like this podcast. I wanted to get you on because of that conversation. But, I wrote about it afterwards
mm-hmm.
and how much I enjoyed it and how real it was and how I felt like it was the first real conversation that I've had in a really long time with a friend that I don't usually get to see.
Yeah.
And I don't usually get to see my friends. I spend a lot of time alone just due to who I am sometimes. But
that you know what the funny thing was? Is that was me all throughout high school.
Yeah.
Very introverted. I mean, I played sports, and, like, that was my friend group. Mm-hmm. There'd be, like, practice mm-hmm. with whatever my team. They'd be my friends. But I was very, very independent, would just always read, watch movies, try to just, like, broaden my horizons, just very solitary. And it was so peaceful.
Yes.
It was very, very peaceful. And I learned a lot. I would read all the time, watch all these different movies, try to gain all these different perspectives. And at least, like, in college, it's totally flipped, like, mm-hmm. completely for me. I've become, like, such an extrovert to the point where it's, like, I've, like, not my lost myself in a sense, but it's, like, I want that, like, peace back, you know?
Yeah, you want to go back to being able to be yourself without having to feel like you need to satisfy somebody else's.
Yeah, or even satisfy some, like, craving for what? But it was, like, I was so happy. Like, even me going to Europe by myself is such, like, a solitary individual thing that I completely love. I was just alone with my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Alone by myself, and I really appreciated that for so many years. But mm-hmm. it's like now I'm like the complete opposite. It's mm-hmm. like I'm never alone. I just like come to the realization. It's just like there's some like medium between, you know, always being around people,
out, always
doing things,
being in.
And being in and being like solitary and taking the time to reflect, to mm-hmm. think, whether it's reading a book or watching a movie and thinking. It's like very important thing.
How do you feel about the saying that everything happens for a reason?
I think, yeah, everything happens for a reason. In some sense that it's like you can, one door closes, another door opens, or
always,
like a leaf falls from a tree, but like that leaf grows a new tree. I kind of like that quote. I think that things do happen for a reason, and it pushes you in the right direction. But it's important for like you to be aware of that and like take advantage of that. Yeah.
And how often do you find yourself in a situation where you're saying, everything happens for a reason. Do you find yourself...
When I look back on certain things that, like, affect me, I'm like, if I that didn't happen, I wouldn't be here now, you know?
So true.
So I'm like, in the moment, it's hard to be that socially aware to be like, whether it's something horrible that's happening or something negative happening in your life, you can't be like, oh, this is going to lead to something good. But if I look at, like, bad things that happen, it's like, if I look at, like, the turmoil I went through my life or, like, the hardships I went through my life, and, like, let's say that never happened, I don't think it would be at USC. I don't think we'd be having this conversation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the things in my life in the past have really, like, built me to where I am today. So in that sense, I can be like, everything happens for a reason.
So maybe this period we're going through where it's overuse of social media is shaping us into individuals where we are able to be aware of what's going on. Look, I feel like me and you are one step ahead, or me, you, and people who can relate are a few steps ahead of the people who are genuinely sucked into it. And being able to have the perspective that we have puts us at the advantage of, okay, at least I can see it. At least I understand that it's a problem. And the first step to getting a solution is to recognize the problem first. And for us to be able to recognize that social media is oversaturated, everywhere you go is a walking billboard, everything is a walking ad. You walk outside and 50 different things are being advertised to you.
I think like the best, I was in New York with a friend.
Yeah.
And we were in Times Square, and we were like, this is, like, the biggest representation of America, you know? It's, yeah, like, it's so fabricated that it was, like, 12 o'clock at night, but it felt like it was, like, 3 p.m., you know? With all the billboards lighting up, and it was like, this is, like, a total, it just felt like...
Constant color, this color, color. This is such a
representation
color
of, like, America, mm-hmm, of just everything always at once, in mm-hmm your face, bright and lit up, and it was just, like, crazy.
We don't ever get the chance to experience one thing at a time, or a few things at a time, and it makes me sad.
No, yeah, I think, but part of that's just being cognizant and making sure that you're just like, but like I miss reading. I need to read a book. I tried to read a book over break, and it was such a nice experience. It's like you're focusing on one thing,
mm-hmm,
you're peaceful and alone. And that's something I'm really trying to work to get back to, is just read and just be alone with my thoughts, because it makes you such a calm person and able just to rationalize things better, and also a much more happy person too, because you're not caught up in all these things. Because at the end of the day, if you're around all these people, it stresses me out. Because it's like their problems become your problems.
Yeah, their energy becomes your energy, and all the energy is transferable.
Because I have a friend that's like he's emotional. So like things that affect other people affect him, especially with his close friends.
Oh, empathetic.
Yeah, empathetic, and it's like it really takes a toll on him. Even like things in his life that are not like happening directly to him. And it's like, I felt like in a sense, I felt bad. I even like apologized to him today. Cause I was like, I feel bad if I stressed you out because you were like such on my side or whatever for things or whatever, that it like kind of stressed you out. You made like my problems into becoming your problems. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, I don't know if I want to attribute that to social media or whatever or anything, but I think part of the reason is just like trying to be solitary and alone. And which I like about him, he does the same thing, is that he likes like his alone time and like just relaxing and not trying to like deal with any stress. And I think that's something I really, really commend with him, and something I really want to work on is just being peaceful and just being like alone and just being able to just be calm and not worry about like other people's lives. It just becomes very stressful. It comes oversaturating.
Yeah, I actually want to read this excerpt from my journal. I wrote this in I love this history and geography on drugs class. I was in there pondering, and I said, I'm going to read it verbatim. If you think you're doing bad, you probably aren't. I noticed that when I try to observe myself during interactions, I become more hesitant. I'm actively pushing through that by continuing to interact anyway. And it's interesting to feel myself stepping out and doing things that I don't normally do or do consistently. And I wrote this down because I was interacting in class. I was I really like to interact with the teachers, ask questions that have nothing to do with the lesson, but sort of interact with it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when you raise your hand, you get nervous because you feel like you're gonna blurt out the wrong thing. And I could sort of see myself from a third person point of view, hesitating or being scared or not wanting to ask, but wanting to know the answer. And I got through that by pushing through anyway. And that's the only way you can like sort of build your confidence, is by doing what you're afraid to do. And then I go on to say, I can see the concept of we are more in our heads than we are in real life. It's literally all in the state of mind. This is how confidence is built. Not letting your mind create the criteria to which or how you see the world. Action is better than thought in most cases. And those who enjoy what they are doing, usually, I can't read my handwriting. Let's see. This is how confidence is built. Not letting your mind create the criteria to which or how you see the world. Action is better than thought in most cases. And those who enjoy what they are doing usually act before they think, or they don't think at all, or they don't think long. How do I count the length of my thoughts? And I said active participation in cutting your own time to think. Give yourself a 3 to 10 second rule. Count backwards from 3 to 10 and then do whatever action that you want to do either before or when you get to zero. And challenge yourself once a day to do something you're afraid to do. And then do your best to stay consistent. And over time, like we were saying earlier, you sort of see this end figure that you want. And as you do stuff like this every day, just step one foot in front of the other, you see that character mold is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So do you think journaling for you has become a thing that's like allowed you to get your thoughts out and like let you settle down with like yourself and think through things?
Yes, I will say yes, because I think a lot and I have a lot of great thoughts a day. Like mm-hmm. I really love to come up with new ideas for businesses that I probably will never start. Ideas for movies that I'll probably never record, melodies to songs that I'll probably never make. But I enjoy having those thoughts with myself because it shows that my imagination is still active. And I know that when I get to something that I really want to do and I have that idea that I really want to stick to, I'll be able to do it. And the journaling part has sort of helped me keep up with those thoughts. So instead of them coming in and going out and I forget them, and I'm always constantly coming up with new thoughts. Sometimes I can build on previous thoughts that I've once had. It's sort of just keeping up with myself, keeping tallies on the things that I really want to write down that I think about. I like to, now that I think about it, I want to, even being in public when I notice people, I just want to notice them and sort of write down what I think they're thinking and put myself in other people's shoes. Not because I don't enjoy my own life, but simply because I want to see it from another perspective sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
How do I think this person would see me? How do I think this person sees the world right now? How do I think this person feels right now? What could they possibly be going through? Because when you look at individuals, you never truly understand what anybody is going through unless they tell you. You never truly understand who an individual is unless you experience them. And so when you go outside and you look at people, they're all blank slates to you. To me, you know what I'm saying? And so you can give them any personalization that you want. And sometimes I go around and personalize my own characters, and I give people nicknames that they don't know they have. Mm-hmm. I give people roles in my life that they don't know they have. You know what I'm saying? I have role models younger than me. I look up to some kids just simply due to the fact that they're still kids in a kid body. You know what I'm saying? It's one thing to never lose that inner child. But it's another thing to see a child experience life at the young age, at the ripe age. And some of them are losing it. We're losing adolescence. And I just watched a video. You know Soft White Underbelly?
No.
Okay, it's a YouTube channel that does these interesting interviews with individuals that are in bad situations, horrible situations. It was one kid, he was a fentanyl addict, and he talked about his life story. I just watched a video today about this guy, his name was Twan. He's like a drug dealer, south side of Chicago or whatever. But what I started to notice is that we are growing up too fast. Now, at the time the video was recorded, I want to say it was 2 years ago, so 2022, he was 23 at the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had been selling drugs and in and out of jail since the age of 13. And for me to think about, in the shoes that he was in, he was only a few years older than what we are right now. And he's already had 50 years of experience. So he went from not even a child, maybe, due to like where he grew up and the people he was around, but for the sake of not wanting to go too deep into it or deeper into it, he went from a child to sort of like adolescence. And then he got to a preteen, not even a full-fledged teenager, got to a preteen, and he went from that straight to adulthood. And his last 10 years that he experienced were being an adult. And he highlighted the fact that at the time he was recording an interview was the longest that he ever been out of jail. So I would like people to try to explain to me, how do we get these younger individuals to actually experience life? Because they're missing out on a key piece, and that's why we're dying off so early. Even if we don't die physically, we're dying off mentally, because he's experienced what somebody at the age of 60 would go through across 60 years, compacted in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he gets his mental clarity, when he's out and he realized that he's out and he doesn't want to go back, what is left for him to learn? Or, you know what I'm saying? So it's so much going on in his life that by the time he settles down, he has no fucking idea what he wants to do. And there's nobody to tell him what to do, because everybody around him, excuse me, is in the same situation. And what was another point? Yeah, I'll keep it at that. But yeah, everybody else is in the same situation. And how does he build a life for himself? Because even though he's 23, smart individual, able to articulate himself extremely well, he's still in the mindset of a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
And that's not his fault. We can't blame him for where he is. And how do we blame society? You know, we can't solve every single problem at once. But I think recognizing that that is a thing is important in understanding why some people act the way they do. Yeah.
I think a big thing is always trying to just, like, see things from other people's perspective. So everyone always reacts differently to things that, like, you might not understand. And the hardest thing is definitely just to be cognizant, or, like, even aware of, like, oh, this is a person with a completely different experience than me and sees the world completely different from me. And it's kind of hard, because you always think, oh, people are going to see the world exactly for me. And I think that's been also kind of hard for me, is to, like, be aware that, like, people see things in different lights that I may see it, and I just have to, like, kind of constantly be aware, because, like, based on their experience of life, things look different to them to me.
Yeah.
And I guess the hardest part, and in a sense, even, like, says it stresses me out, because it's, like, you have all these people, especially in college, because everything's, as we even talked about earlier on, that everything is always just there, everything's always moving and going. It's all these people, these very smart individuals with very, like, in-depth lives, in-depth feelings, in-depth thoughts, and it's like it's always constantly around you, and it's kind of a stressful thing to always be aware of. Oh, this person's thinking this, this person's thinking that, this person has this experience, this person has that experience, and sometimes, yeah, it is hard to navigate, because you are navigating a whole bunch of people with a whole bunch of different thoughts and feelings and ideas on situations. It's like, I even connect this to, like, what we talked about earlier on in the episode about, like, visual experience. It's like the way I'm looking at, I don't know, like this can that's in front of me might be different to someone else. Even though we're both looking at the same can, they're gonna have, like, a different thoughts and feelings and ideas on it, and you kind of just have to accept that, you know. Maybe to me the can is, like, something that's, like, peaceful, I like it, it makes me happy, but to them it could be something horrible that makes them sad, you know. I think that's definitely one of the hardest things. So as I said before, I was a lot more, like, individual, solitary when I was younger, especially in high school. And being in college, it's been a thing just to be, like, constantly aware of all these people, all these different thoughts, these different ideas, and how people perceive things, how people see, like, look at things, interpret things. That's been the most difficult thing for me too.
Yeah, it's like everybody's entitled to opinion.
Yeah,
but always being aware of the opinions that people have puts you in a position to where you don't even understand your own opinions. And then at what point are my opinions actually my opinions?
Yeah, because it gets to the point you don't want to lose yourself, you know? And what you're thinking, and I feel like it gets so easy just to be like, this person thinks this, I think that. I did just talk about a friend who's, like, emotional, he's very empathetic, very cares a lot. And I think at times, like, the way I saw things, he saw things too, just because he was, like, close with me, we were really good friends, empathetic, and even the way he saw things, I started to see things in the same way. And it gets easy to like, lose yourself, especially with, as I said before, all these different people with different opinions, different thoughts and ideas. It becomes very complicated.
Oh, man. I was watching another interview, and I sort of had the thought that we as humans or individuals often forget that we come from nature.
Mm-hmm.
And we get so, I wish I could find it in my notebook. I wrote a really good excerpt. But we get so caught up in the idea of everything being man-made that when we go outside, we don't believe in nature anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I went on to talk about how everything is reciprocated value. I think I talked about this, the episode that's not out yet, but will be out. The inherent value of things and being able to understand that we are one with the environment that we come through.
Yeah.
And the best example, I think I gave it in the episode, was that the only reason that trees are able to live is because we breathe carbon dioxide. And the only reason we are able to live is because trees produce oxygen from the carbon dioxide that we give it. So it's this sort of
like cycle of life, yeah, in a sense.
This cyclical nature that we should be able to fall into and understand, but we stray so far away from the natural order of things or nature in itself because of everything else that we have. We're able to escape nature by, you know, using our phone. We're able to not connect with the earth because we got rubber soles. You know, how many times do you go out a day barefoot in grass? Nobody's grounding themselves anymore.
Yeah.
And I learned this very interesting concept of grounding. And it was something like the earth has a natural vibration that if you're in tune with it, you'll just feel more like yourself. And we sort of stray away from that vibration because we aren't able to feel it through the rubber soles. Rubber soles are insulators, right? And me and you are humans. As humans, are electric in a way because we got we have electrolytes within us. Like we're electric beings. We have energy, and that energy is supposed to connect with the earth's energy. But if you have that mediator in the middle, you aren't able to connect with what you naturally come from.
Yeah, that's funny because I played a lot of baseball growing up, and my coach was always like, when you're like in your batting stance or whatever, he's like, you got to stay connected to the earth. He's like, the earth's a living thing. You're a living thing. And if you want like your swing to be good and to be like really like focused in and centered in and like hit the baseball in like a correct way, you have to like stay on the ground, feel like your like feet touching the earth and feel connected. He's like, I completely agree, because it's like that was something that was always brought up when I was playing baseball, to be like connected with the earth and be like, he would always repeat it saying like, you got to feel the earth underneath. You got to feel the earth underneath. You're both living. So you got to stay connected. Mm-hmm. And that was like something that always stuck with me. So yeah, I completely agree that it's like, we are really connected to the earth and all these things. And I think sometimes, yeah, we do lose it with like, I don't know, the way society has built things. Especially for me, even like the USC Village just feels so like fabricated.
It feels so fake.
It does.
It's like a little city inside of a school, inside of a city.
Yeah.
Inside of a state. Like,
yeah. It literally just feels like
it's an entirely new world. I don't know how they did it. I don't know what the contractors were thinking. I don't know who wrote the blueprints, but
it feels like a set. Even like living in those dorms feels like a set, and it's really upsetting.
Every
like,
dorm is the same. You go to your friend's dorm, you think you're in your dorm, and then you go to the next dorm, you think
it like really it's like still really upsets me. It makes me feel so weird. I feel like I'm like walking into like some fabricated setting. It's so
I feel like I'm walking into a movie every day.
I know, it becomes very, very weird and very like unnatural.
And we were saying that, like, even on the walk here, that nobody here seems real.
Yeah, I mean, they are real. That's the thing. But it's like, I don't know. Everyone's always doing their own thing. It just all feels, it's hard to navigate in a sense, all these different people, all these different thoughts, all these different feelings, and all these conflicting interests. It's a very difficult thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult, especially coming from me, who's someone who's very solitary, independent, always in my own thoughts. And I can even admit that this semester I've like lost myself with other people's thoughts, other people's opinions. It's like something that never even happened to me before, and it was very difficult to like coincide with that and like come to terms that like I need to get back to whatever my rationality or like my own thoughts, feelings, and opinions on things, because that was like a big thing for me, was being this like solitary, independent person that was like on top of things and would just rationalize things and think things through by myself. And it's become so conflicting.
Now, the biggest question, because I understand you. I've lost myself before and I've had to gain myself back. But is it you want to move past this individual that you have become and revert back? Or do you want to continue to push through, let go of the things that you know, like let go of these new ideologies or like losing yourself and find yourself in a new form?
I think it's definitely find myself in a new form and navigating, okay, I'm like in a place that everyone else is in, like college, you're like still navigating the world, learning who you want to be, but still grounding myself in the fact that is like I am someone who is like needs to like be alone with their own thoughts, their own ideas, and like even as you said before, be bored, have the time to think, have the time to like not even think, then just be there, just to live, whether it's just like sitting and thinking mm-hmm. or just resting and not constantly on go.
And do things for the sake of doing them. I run this podcast. It would be amazing for the podcast to blow up, but I never do like the further advertising for it. I want to get a camera now, but I do it because I get to learn from it. I get to learn from individuals like you, other individuals that come on, and I do it just to do it, and I share it with whoever wants to listen. It would be beautiful to market it more, but I'm not in it to make it a... I don't know if I want to make it a business for myself to where now it has become a task. And although I love doing it, I have a passion for it, it feels like a hobby, and I sort of want to keep it that way. And I'm going to continue to promote like my episodes and my story, continue to get more people to listen in, but I don't want to do it to a point where I'm paying for ads on Instagram, where I'm trying to push it. I don't like that form of life, and I feel solid in my decision not wanting to do that, even though I feel like I'm pushing myself back in a sense, but it's not that I'm afraid to step out and do it because it may fail. It's I don't want to do it because I like everything to be genuine. I like everything to be authentic.
I was just about to say authenticity.
I miss the old way of life. You look at architecture nowadays, or even architecture in America versus what you see in Europe. And you see in Europe, theirs is more, they have a more keen attention to detail. Mm-hmm. You see intricate buildings, intricate lines. You saw the big-ass church in Spain that took 5,000 years to build, right?
Yeah.
It's they're paying attention to detail. They're going in and they're putting things in. They're not just, you know what I'm saying, pulling it out of the Fortnite creator and sitting on top of each other, but they're taking these pieces and they're taking their time. And even when you look at previous works of previous generations, people paid more attention to what they were doing. You had to go, I guess you could say, the slower route. Now everything is about how can I make it quicker? How can I make it, quote unquote, more efficient? But when you make things quicker and more efficient, you lose out on quality.
Mm-hmm.
And as a society, I feel like we flipped from quality to quantity, where it really should be quality over quantity, because nobody truly understands the value of building something from the ground up. Now, if I was to promote this podcast to where it's at now, I would be under more pressure and like scrutiny to get something out every week, because now I got people depending on me. I know people listen to it, but I don't feel pressured to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like I did feel pressure last year, but it was a good pressure because it kept me going. But I'm at 70 episodes now, which would be like a good, you know, place to start promoting. But I just want to keep doing my episodes and take the slow route.
Well, if it's authentic and you have the passion, then yeah, you should. That's my, I have the same friend that I talked earlier on about his neuroscience journal. He's the same thing. He's like, he doesn't really care how many people necessarily like subscribe to the newsletter or read it. He does it because it's like an authentic thing that he's passionate about and genuinely loves.
Yeah.
I think that's the way to go. Mm-hmm. Who cares about what other people think? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of our conversations have been like, at the end of the day, people have opinions, people have thoughts and ideas, but if you know what you're doing is authentic and it feels good, that it's good to do that and mm-hmm. not worry about what other people think, not worry about what social media dictates, and just go forward.
So we're coming up on an hour now. It'd be amazing to have a part two, maybe next semester or something, but we're going to end it off right here. I always do this. I wait to the end, but do you have a quote of the day?
I have quotes on my phone. Let's see. Here's a good one.
All right.
From The Prince by Machiavelli. Everyone sees what you appear to be. Few experience what you really are.
Mm.
I think that's true, especially in a day with social media, especially when everyone's always trying to
portray it's a guessing something. Game now. It's just a guessing game.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a guessing game. So, yeah. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
No problem, man. And I'll see y'all later.